We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. A radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Welcome back. Ian Happ.
It's hard to take Ian Happ out of the lineup. This guy's swinging the bat really well. He's been a staple. He's the real deal.
Happ is a switch hitter. He's got a beautiful swing. He's strong. We've seen him hit some long home runs.
Happ hits a high drive deep to left. Dickerson at the wall. It's gone! A go-ahead home run for Ian Happ on a 1-2 pitch.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
He can run. He's a very good athlete.
Now he's got all the tools.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Speaking of contracts, Dakota, can we give a little congratulatory round of applause to Ian?
Thanks, guys.
He's a $4.1 million man.
Yeah, that's a big win for the compound.
It's great because our boss is rich, so now we get bonuses.
And very the generous.
He told us we get 25% each of his contract. So me and Zach rolling in a mill each. Thanks, boss.
Yeah, that's really appreciate awesome it. For you guys. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm pumped up about it.
Ian Happ.
I get my first BP, first time seeing an arm in a minute. Right-handed first, like, it was okay. It was, you know, I found some barrels. It wasn't terrible. And then left-handed, I got in there, and the first pitch, and Vallejo was throwing BP. He throws some firm batting practice. The first pitch he threw me when I was hitting left-handed, I swung and missed. Just acted like nothing happened. It was like I just hit a rocket. I just kept going. I actually ended up having a very good batting practice left-handed. But I did swing and miss it.
I'm pissed nobody gave you for it. You said nobody made fun of you. I was like, if someone swings and misses,
oh yeah,
like you got to let him hear it. You got to chirp him a little bit.
Yeah.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Let's warm up with some baseball talk right out of the gate with Ian Happ, who is on Twitter at @IHAP_1 and joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. How are you, Ian?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good. It sounds like what a difference it makes for you. You're out of Austin. Like, you got out of there. You got your arbitration hearing behind you. You're looking at some new walls, and you're probably got this great vet set up now in spring training, like vested vet and a new lease on life.
It's good to be here. It's good to be with the guys. It's good to be back in Arizona in the sunshine. We've had beautiful weather and just excited to get after it.
When you consider not just getting out of Austin, getting that arbitration hearing underway, getting spring training underway, and then just the nice feeling of getting to a field and taking some hacks, how do you prioritize what was the most important for you? Because the arbitration hearing was going to happen. You were going to do that. You were going to get out of Austin. You were going to get to the field. But what's the thing that you were the happiest about getting done to get to this point recently?
Man, I think just getting here. I think I've never gotten to spring training this late. I was prepped to get here early and have a week to kind of slowly get into things and get my feet back under me on the field. And so that little bit of delay, it kind of speeds everything up, especially with the intake process, getting through that, the 48 hours to wait to be in Arizona but not be able to go to the field. That part's a little bit tough. It's different. And so getting through that, actually getting settled, getting on the field in cleats, getting the initial spring training soreness out of the way, all of that, like nothing can prepare, as hard as you work in the off season, nothing can prepare you for being on the field in cleats, running around and just like getting that initial few days out of the way. So I'm happy to be back. Like I said, just getting back in that routine and seeing everybody.
So you violated the longstanding rule of attending your own arbitration hearing 5 hours on a Zoom call, all that, you know, they say he kind of sucks and you say, no, I don't suck. And I'm as good as this guy. And this is what this guy made. That takes 5 hours.
It's a long process. Yeah. It's a long process. You know, I'm just appreciative for the total process. It's a lot easier to say that obviously when you win your case, but just the entire thing, you have enough time to present your case. You have enough time for rebuttal and to really go through the entire process. You know, I'm very appreciative to the arbitrators for being able to, in a difficult circumstance this year, sit through that, be attentive, and really just do the diligence that it takes to present that, because for someone who's worked their entire life to get to this point, to have the process be reflective of what you think your value is and to really take into account, like if it was a short process, if it was 30 minutes or an hour to decide that, kind of a big thing in your career and definitely a big difference maker for me and my family. I don't know that it would necessarily be enough. So, it is a tough process. It's a long process, but I think that's reflective of the point that I'm at in my career and all the different factors that go into it.
So much of what you do is trying to balance emotion with being able to put that away in clutch time. So how did that manifest itself in your arbitration hearing?
Yeah, I think it's understanding that it's part of the business, it's understanding that it's not personal. Obviously, I have the utmost respect for the organization, for all of the people on the other side, for the opportunity that I've been given, both from our front office, from Theo and Jed, and from the Ricketts family for everything that they've done for me and my family since the moment I was drafted. And so I know sitting across the table and going through the process isn't easy, but having that mindset that it's just part of the business and that at, when we get to camp and when we get underway, that I know the organization has my back. I know they care about me. I know they value me for the player I am and for the contribution that I've made to the organization since the day I was drafted.
What's the vibe of the clubhouse right now? What voices are you hearing? Obviously, this is it's a new time. A lot happened in the offseason. There were a lot of departures. You know, you mentioned you were excited to hang around Jock Peterson. What does it feel like?
It's exciting. I think it's exciting to have some of the same faces back. I think there wasn't enough talk about the fact that Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo and Jason Hayward are all still in this locker room. You know, we still have, and you know, Wilson Contreras, we still have this great group of position players. Our lineup top to bottom is really, really solid. When you think about a guy like Jock Peterson stuck in the middle, and then you have somebody like Nico Horner at the end of the lineup, like that's a really deep, deep lineup. And I think everybody's excited about that. And everybody's ready to go gearing up. And it's good to see, it's good to see this guys out there. I hit in the live BP with Jock yesterday and watched him take a fastball over the fence to left center and got really excited about what that's going to look like at Wrigley Field.
I think we're probably also undervaluing the fact that this is a spring training where we know what the possibilities are. It's so much different from summer camp or just the time when it was stopped in March of last season. When you have the information you have about the variables of outside baseball, somewhat understood, somewhat in control, at least to the point that you can control them, how much of a difference does that make, even though it's still complicated, knowing that you've got a base understanding there?
Yeah, I was actually having a conversation on the field a couple of days ago with Rossi and a couple other guys about, man, it was crazy that we got ready for a season in 3 weeks in the middle of the summer last year. Like that shortened amount of time, at that point, we were just all excited to get back and find a way to play baseball. But it was amazing that guys got themselves ready, got themselves in shape. We only played 3 games against another team before we started the season. The fact that we did that and went through that is insane. And now having something that's more normal, having a full spring training, having 28 games to get ready, it feels a lot more normal. It feels a lot more like we're going to have the number of reps that we need under our belts. We're going to have the entire time to get ourselves ready to go through the process. And I think we're all just really excited and grateful to be able to do that this year.
Do you miss the compound?
I do. Came out with their YouTube video. It's an hour long about the review of the 2020 season. I would recommend it to everybody to watch. It's really well done. Cubs production killed it with the interviews and with the footage. They documented the whole season so you can kind of see what it was like behind the scenes for us to go through it. And there was a section pretty early on about the compound, about our time there. I sent it to Zach and Dakota and just said, man, wasn't that an amazing opportunity that we got to spend that time together and get to do that? It didn't feel right to go back without those guys, but I definitely miss it. I definitely miss having all those guys together and kind of the camaraderie that we built there.
So are you just by yourself now? You said you were going to be a little bit closer to the field, and rather than have all the creature comforts, just cut down on the commute?
Yeah, cut down on the commute. You know, obviously the spring training is a little bit different. We can't do that much. We can't be going out and doing the normal things that we would do in Scottsdale because it's basically to and from the field. So to cut down on the commute to be a little bit closer, obviously there's going to be some more hours spent at the field this year and just making sure that the body's ready after kind of the short season and making sure that everything's in shape. So wanted to be a little bit closer, wanted to make that kind of transition and commute a little bit easier.
What's your impression of having Jake Arrieta in that clubhouse now that he's back?
You know, you forget how big of a presence he is. And he's so good at talking with younger guys, being social, being around. And he's accomplished so much in this game to have that really veteran voice to be able to speak with everybody. It's great. It's great to see him. I haven't seen him throw yet, but I've been talking to some of the coaches, said he looks great. Ball's coming out of the hot, and I can't wait to be behind him in a spring training game and watch from center field because he makes the ball dance up there.
I have to say, listening to the most recent Compound podcast, you got me going as a sports fan, and I've been waiting for this opportunity. Anybody who has listened to me on the air for low these many years will understand why. So, correct me if I have this wrong, but when Zach Short was talking about Miguel Cabrera and being in camp with the Tigers and standing around and watching him take BP, you three were discussing 2012 when Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown. And you said that was the only year, and correct me if I'm wrong, you said that was the only year that it was okay that Mike Trout didn't win MVP. Right?
Correct.
Okay. Now, people know that season, my radio partner at the time, Terry Bors, and I argued all year and up until afterward and through it the entire time, I insist that Mike Trout still should have won MVP.
No.
He was the better baseball player and was the better offensive baseball player, even taking defense out of it. This is a hot button for me, Hap, and because now that we understand weighted runs created plus, we understand how that handles, you know, run environment and park factors and everything. Mike Trout had a weighted runs created plus of 167 to Cabrera's 166. Mike Trout was a 10-win player. Cabrera was a 7.3-win player. I know that's positional per fan graphs, but I will die on this hill.
I love your passion. If somebody wins the Triple Crown, they're automatically the MVP. There's no question.
No, that's arbitrary.
Yes, speak on it.
To lead the league in batting average, home runs, and RBIs is near impossible. What metrics do not bring into play is how difficult it is and what a skill it is to drive and run.
Oh, that is ancient and arbitrary. You can pick any stats.
Nope, driving in runs is not luck. It is skill. It doesn't matter how many opportunities you get, how good your team is. Driving in runs is hard and it's undervalued. The fact that Anthony Rizzo drives in 100 runs every year is not luck. It is a skill. It is very difficult to do, and it should be valued far more than it is. And the fact that in that ballpark, Miguel Cabrera, and I think there's a stat out there. I don't know where it is. You would have to, our research team might be able to find it, but they're not on the phone right now. I think in that season, Miguel Cabrera hit more balls that should have been or would have been home runs at other ballparks than any other guy in baseball. Like, we watched last year, Anthony Rizzo hit a ball 425 feet and get caught at the wall. Like, that park is so difficult to hit in with such tough conditions early in the season. The fact that he did it in that ballpark is incredible.
And weighted runs created plus reflects that and takes their park factor is taken into account in that particular statistic. And the RBIs, as we now know, are in large part a function of your teammates on base percentage. It's essentially your batting average and your teammates on base percentage. It's not entirely luck, but that is one stat that has more luck than other stats. And defense matters in winning. Defense matters in how good someone is at baseball. I would love to hear the counter argument on that. Defense matters, and Mike Trout is a generational defensive player, and Miguel Cabrera at that point in his career was bad at it.
I do not disagree that defense matters and that it's important, but I do not agree with how it's evaluated, and I think that it's very subject to position, and also we don't have a perfect system, and then it's gotten better every year, but definitely that year it was not developed enough to be able to accurately depict how impactful a player is on defense.
Well argued.
Trout is an incredible outfielder. He's an incredible defensive center fielder, but that should not be the difference between the MVP and not the MVP.
He was the best player in baseball that year.
I agree with you.
Now.
By the way, I agree with you. I think that anytime the phrase triple crown is even uttered in the same sentence as somebody, it's with massive respect. The fact that it hadn't been done since Yaz kind of said it all to me. I don't know that it's going to be done again in this modern MLB and how it exists. If you had to explain to Dan how hard it is not just to drive in runs and hit home runs, but to hit for average together, what would you say to him right now, Ian?
I'm right here.
It's unfathomable. I don't know that it will ever happen again. If it does, that person should win the MVP regardless of war. I firmly believe that. And I just that watching the way Miguel Cabrera played that season, how good he was, the fact that down the stretch with the Triple Crown on the line that he was able to complete it and walk away with the Triple Crown, that's like – I can't even process doing that, especially at that ballpark.
Ian, thank you. We'll agree to disagree. I'll revisit this again, but you were as a sports radio talker, a sports podcaster, you did your job because you had me yelling at the walls in the basement as I was working out.
I appreciate that. As long as we can incite that passion, we're fine.
All right. What anything else we need to know about the Ian Happ Charitable Empire? What's next? What's ahead? Anything available for purchase to help somebody out?
More good stuff coming. I mean, we're really excited about what, I say this every week, but we're really excited about what Connect's doing. Things are in the works, and we can't wait to announce them as the season approaches.
All right. Continued good health to you. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.
That is Ian Happ. Boy, you're like a Hawk Rahimi over here, too. Next thing you're going to be ranting about TWTW and swinging out of a bottle of Smirnoff.
Yes. Maybe I'll wear a white tracksuit to the next Sox Fest, too.
Cool. You look like Hugh Hefner.
I don't know how that would go exactly. That was Hawk's last outfit at Sox Fest.
Yep, that's about right.
The Triple Crown is, it supersedes.
Arbitrary, antiquated. We know better. We have better ways of telling who's good at baseball. And Mike Trout was better at baseball that
Sometimes
year.
Sometimes the stats just kind of speak the truth, like scores of games.
Scoreboard, TWTW. That's Hawk Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein, and we'll start the show in earnest next on the score.
What are you doing, Wagner?
Chicago Bulls play here.
Bulls win! Bulls!
Bulls win! Bulls win a thriller as they came back from a 25-point first-half deficit to beat Detroit in a Motown meltdown.
Listen to Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington call every exciting Bulls game right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Bernstein and Rahimi breaking down the top Chicago sports stories.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. That's it. No.
I told you there's cheating allowed, but we can't really talk about it. And don't cheat too much, but like you can cheat a little.
Stimulating conversation.
You know, I'm more Chicago than you are. No, I'm more Chicago than you are. You live in the suburbs. I'm from the Northwest Side. I'm from Bridgeport.
Don't you dare call me out when I got the receipts.
Rational thinking.
Everything wrong with sports radio.
Are we calling the show Steve-O in the Bucket?
She's likable.
I hate everything.
He's Dan.
He's just so odious.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score, a radio.com sports station.
Let's go! We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we already had fun with Ian Happ. And now we're going to talk some sports. We got a lot to do. We're going to have Cody Westerlund join us at 10 o'clock. He is our digital editor here at Sports Radio 670, and he covers the Bulls. So he was at the game last night, and we'll talk to him about whatever that was. That was kind of frustrating, but it's nice to know that we're allowed to be disappointed in a win that shouldn't have been as close as it was. It's yet another sign of progress. Layla's going to open a brand new pack. Or not brand new. I mean, it's an old pack, but it's an unopened pack.
I have to do the. I got my cards right here. Sound effect here. I brought my baseball card collection.
That's your whole collection?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've moved a lot, and I only have so much space. And look what I have here—a gift from the man himself, Chris Kamka.
Like, I get a Pavlovian response to seeing an unopened wax pack of Topps baseball cards. Like, that's my childhood. That's promise. That's hope.
According to this, you can win a trip to 1989 spring training. We could still win?
I'll go.
Yeah, Chris Kamka, the man. If you don't know who he is, he's now working in the he's the NBC Sports Chicago resident statistician. I feel like he's the baseball historian for Chicago.
I went to 1991 spring training. I will definitely fill out that application, send it in, see if I can go to 1989 spring training.
I mean, it's the real one, and there's a stick of bubblegum. You really want to do this.
I'll do it. I'll eat it.
Somehow Dan Bernstein, who has acknowledged every single possible aspect of variability in a pandemic, is still cool with chewing a piece of gum. That's now 33 years old.
What, am I going to get gum plague or something? I'm not worried about it. What's going to happen? It's just high fructose corn syrup and starch or whatever it is.
I don't even know that they had to print the ingredients on this back in the day. Oh, so you can put your name, age, address, and zip code on a plain 3x5 piece of, I'm assuming, something. I can't read the rest of it. And there's an address here. The spring training trip is worth up to $5,000.
I bet a lot more now if they can get you in the DeLorean and send you back to 1989. But that's going to be fun. We're gonna take a page out of David Roth's book from The Defector and remember some guys at that. But we're going to do that at 10:20, midday, midway at 10:40. I've got something cool. I got an NBA thing to do at 11, and it sprung up from just a casual conversation. I always tell my son, you know, he starts wanting to talk sports. I'm like, I'm not doing the show. Do your own show. Go down and talk to your friends. Do your own show. But he brought something up, and it turned into us taking notes and spending about a half an hour coming up with an NBA food for thought that I think is going to be a whole lot of fun. Maybe drop in some White Sox shortly thereafter. Then Peggy Kaczynski is going to be our guest for the 11:45 thing. She's got something cool going on, and she'll tell us about it at 11:45. 312-644-6767 is the phone number at WSCR The Score. We call it The Score Listener Line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you want to email, you email Bernstein Rahimi at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. Send a text to the text zone, brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. Her personal feed is at Layla Rahimi. Mine is at Dan underscore Bernstein. Download the radio.com app. That helps you stream the score on your mobile devices. You can interact with the show and the station on Facebook if you care to. Yuck. And there is Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. We have these cameras and the video feed that is directed by Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertz. There's the chat that goes on as well. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer, and Jordan Matley is on the board today. Which card is that?
Do you think Kurt Rambis with the Phoenix Suns is going to be on your list?
No, on this list? Hell no.
What about Gerald Wilkins when he was with the Knicks?
No.
Oh, I found a good one. I found a good one. Oh, my God. These are the Fleer 90s I have in my hand right now.
NBA
Will
Fleer.
Will Perdue. Oh, cool. Bulls. I should let him look at this.
Is it a good, flattering picture
Something
of him, at
tells
least?
Me Will probably knows this card exists already. I don't need to tell him about it. It's a Will Perdue action shot.
I can't.
And he's guarding Patrick Ewing.
Good luck to him. Have fun with that. My guess is that didn't end well.
William Edward Perdue.
Will Wennington played with Michael for the last three of those championship seasons.
Still a classic.
It really...
A classic miscommunication telephone story of...
Will Wennington.
Thinking Will Perdue was Bill Wennington and that he went by Will, and oh my goodness.
And Ronji just handles it so well. When he was telling the story, was it Espo or Speaks? I was walking somewhere downtown laughing so hard people thought I was crazy. Than I already am. That was fantastic. Are we still doing this Miguel Cabrera talk? Are we doing this?
No, we're dredging up 10-year-old sports radio talk with you in the role of Terry Bors. Next thing you're going to start making silly noises over there. Hey, buddy, I don't know. No. Believe me, people who have been listening to this station, loyal scoreheads, know how that season went, and they know how it went down to the wire. And Terry, you and Ian can have those arguments. You and Terry and Ian can have all those arguments. And the fact is, you're right. He won the MVP. He was the MVP. I can't change what actually happened. He just wasn't the best player in the American League. That's the difference.
Oh, this is the one. I remember having this argument when I was in San Diego and in Houston about how the Triple Crown superseded all of that.
Why did you save random 1990 Fleer basketball cards?
This is what I had.
So when you say this is your collection, this isn't like a distilled collection for value. This just is literally your collection.
Mm-hmm.
In a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I thought that's what you had saved because they've been appraised.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, this is just what I have. What? Appraised? Why would I get these appraised? No offense, Will. No offense. and then occasionally Ozzy will just give me cards of himself.
What? Hey, you want a card of me? Here you go. Hey.
I think like sometimes, Ozzy gets like gifts of like cards and stuff like that. And Ozzy doesn't need them. So he's like, do you want this? And I'm like, yeah.
So he carries them with him? And,
if they get sent to the station or something.
Yeah, that it used to happen with me, people, years and years ago when I professed my love for Ivan Calderon. And I that was my irrational favorite baseball player just because I thought he was awesome. And since then, I have amassed a collection. People who have known him and people they sent me, I now have a game-worn jersey.
Holy crap. People sent
me autographed bats and balls. I basically could open the Ivan Calderon Museum, I think, if I wanted. And nobody would come and it wouldn't mean anything. But a friend of his who used to hang out with him sent me a personal photo of a shirtless Ivan Calderon with a rose in his teeth. And then
why did it exist?
I don't know. One time at a bar, I ran into Ivan Calderon's Northwest League Short A manager who told me a story from Bellingham, Washington about how he wasn't there at the game. And apparently Ivan had a romantic tryst that was leading up to game time. And he said the press box in Bellingham was the tallest point in the entire town. And from the press box, you could see almost the entire town. And from afar, they noticed Ivan hustling to put his clothes on and sprinting. He was wearing penny loafers with no socks and sprinting down the middle of the street while trying to get to the game in time.
That's like a movie.
Yes. And like these things found me. These things, like you said, they once you say something like that, things will, you'll start to accrue things because people remember, oh yeah, you get in their head, you put a cookie on their hard drive and they remember you're the person who said this.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. It's a law of attraction problem. Once you talk about it, it's going to find you. But yeah, I that's really cool. I have two cards in here of people I've worked with. That never gets old to me, ever.
I want to see what else is in there. I figured you would.
That's why I brought it. Guys, I grew up not collecting baseball cards that much. And I think I did. I just had to get rid of them because I moved so many times. And just that's what I'm left with. Because I remember my prized possession in elementary school was like, card-wise, was a Paul Molitor rookie card or something like that. Nice. Yeah, and the fact that I even knew that was kind of not normal at the time.
This is like the old Murph show in 1993 when he's got his big that's
in the big bag. Oh, it's Don Mossy. Hey.
All of a sudden we're breaking into Murph. That's okay. It's a Thursday. We're in studio. We're having fun. And next up, we're talking about whatever last night's Bulls game was and what that represented. I can tell you here are two numbers to tell you what a backcourt shouldn't do.
Man.
That's straight ahead on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
It goes to Ricky Rubio. Rubio rolling to his right against Kobe White. Throws the inside feed to Vanderbilt and on the pass. Rubio's fouled. They get to give Rubio three free throws?
What? Wait, that was a pass.
It was a pass. I think the officials are having a conference, and Billy Donovan is saying that was a Rubio pass. Rubio's third free throw attempt. Oh, got it.
I fouled him on the dribble. He threw the ball. He didn't even shoot it.
White to Levine with a pull-up right side three. Bam! All-star Zach Levine with 35. Timeout, Minnesota. Inside feed Vanderbilt. Lost the ball. Taken away by Temple to White. Kobe on the runway to the rack and a right-handed dunk. Kobe White dunks.
Wow.
Ball game over. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 133-126 in overtime. And the Bulls have won three in a row and five of six.
Bernstein and Rahimi on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
They get to give Rubio three free throws?
What?
What? Yeah, save that what. That's a good one. That's a good, clean, line quality what. Yes, and they did, and he made them, and it's bad. But you're not supposed to have the Timberwolves taking you to overtime at home on the second night of a back-to-back. But they did, and they survived, and they won. Maybe some lessons learned in victory. That's one of those where if I'm the coach, I'm treating that like a loss. And I'm saying, even though it's a win and they're all feeling good about themselves, that's a great little teaching point there because that's guard somebody. Guard somebody. Throw a paper cup at somebody. You know, do something. I know you're playing guys who aren't necessarily good at it, but that's not supposed to happen like that.
No. No, it is not. In fact, the turnovers came back with not just a vengeance, but a really unfortunate vengeance. When Kobe White and Zach LaVine combined for 14 of the 21.
Your backcourt had 14 turnovers. I mean, it was like some people are sending around the meme of Zach LaVine's stat line of saying it's just like this. And it's a dated meme. That like old-fashioned Zach LaVine with all the points and seven turnovers maybe, but it's an anomaly now because he has been taking better care of the ball. But you won a game in which your starting backcourt turned the ball over 14 times.
When I saw the box score, I was like, well, this isn't good. At least Kobe White had six assists, but LaVine had two.
There were a lot of Denzel Valentine moments. A lot of he had one really nice pass that he made to Wendell Carter where he missed a shot, got his own rebound, went up to shoot it again, and at the last second just kind of punched it to Wendell Carter. And he also had the old man pivot around, throw it in. It was great.
And at one point, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I liked the group on the floor to close the third quarter.
Yeah, you tweeted that.
Even though it was Cornette, Thad, Sato, LaVine, and Temple. And I'm like, okay, this works. I don't quite understand it, but it definitely was the law firm of Sato and Young getting together. But that game should not have been that close. That game should have been kind of like what we saw with the Rockets, except it was close and the Bulls turned the ball over. And I loved also the Billy Donovan exchange with Casey, because there was some foreshadowing there. Casey on Monday sheepishly says to Donovan, because he knows, he's like, I don't want to ask about this, but I have to. The turnovers have been lower. And all of February, they had been lower, respectively. And Donovan said he didn't want to talk about it, but he knew he had to. And then Casey acknowledged his part on the jinx with talking about to Donovan last night. I thought that was pretty good, too.
And Luke Kornet still hasn't made a shot. I also have a new rule. If you remember, I had the Doug McDermott rule, and he's gotten better.
The nunchucks?
Yes. Yes. Doug McDermott was allowed that there are certain handicaps. Like, it's like a horse race where they make, you know, depending on what the jockey weighs, they put extra weight on there just to make everything even. You know, it's sort of like, you know, restrictor plate racing or whatever you want to say. But I said that Doug McDermott was allowed to have nunchucks on defense. He'd like run back ball, somebody would throw him to him, and that just to make it fair, he could, because he couldn't get where he needed to go, and he could just wada and do the full Bruce Lee. Luke Kornet gets a machete. Okay? If you can lop off a hand, if you can sever an arm at the elbow, go for it. And he's trying. It's not for a lack of trying. And he's just the poor guy. He gets a machete.
It's not for a lack of TWTW.
It's not. He's working very hard. He wants to be good at defense. He's just not. And people go around him and through him and over him. And so we're gonna have a party when he makes a shot. We're going crazy.
LMFAO, like just fire up shots and everybody dances.
Party rock anthem. Yes. In the house tonight.
It's kind of like those victories when you knew the Bulls were losing, but this free throw qualified Portillo's or Taco Bell.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
We're gonna have a. Actually, can you call it up and just get our research department on this? How many shots has he made the entire year? How many field goals made does he have?
I can tell you right now, it's less than 10.
Jordan Malley, Locked On Bulls podcast.
Right. I mean, it's. Or I think it's 1-3. Has he made a 3 this year?
And basketball reference.
I guess, but the other thing too, how far in the doghouse is Daniel Gafford?
Yeah, how I thought this would be over by now, because Denzel Valentine's doghouse stint wasn't this long.
How benched is Gafford? Because you needed rim protection. That was like the one thing you needed. With what Karl Anthony Towns was doing, and you know that the little bald guy was getting to the basket, whoever that guy was, that funny looking guy with the Rasputin beard and the bald head, and all you needed is rim protection.
Oh, that's not going to work. This is what happens when you get a computer in the middle of your show because you don't have one. All of a sudden,
a computer from 2002. Also,
yeah,
the size of that laptop.
I'm fine with that. I just wanted a computer rather than just the iPad. But of course, the speakers are at 80 because nobody can hear in radio.
Everybody's deaf.
Yeah, as I'm trying to look stuff up and dial up the score at the same time on Twitch because I want to watch with y'all. All right, I'm at basketballreference.com. You've heard of it. It's an internet website. It provides stats.
And if you call up the Luke Kornet page, it's going to melt your computer.
He's shooting 176 from the field this year.
Yeah, that's not good enough for a 7-footer.
The total numbers are not on here right now, but I can try to find them later.
On that computer, it's going to be an hour and a half before you have any stats.
He's 3-for-17 this season.
Okay.
All right.
Any threes?
Nope.
He hasn't hit a three.
Actually, just kidding. He has one. He's one single three.
Okay. Shot.
Okay. It's not quite my infatuation with Omer Asik. I'm not going to have my Go Omer t-shirt waiting for the Omer Asik double-double that finally came. But he's going to have a night. Let's see, what would be the parameters? What would qualify as the Luke Kornet night? The crazy Luke Kornet game?
Crazy? Two threes.
What? No, like he has a night where like he has 16 points or something like that. Like in this entire season, is that going to happen?
Okay, let's go 16. Is that going to happen?
No.
No. Did we get the quarterback right? No. every single time. Every single time. I'm really sorry. It's going to get unstuck out of my head at some point, but until then.
But we should, that means you're doing enough radio when you have
drops.
Things that fire in your own head as if they're coming off the board without question. Or if it means you've listened to enough, because that's what happens to scoreheads too. They know exactly what I'm talking about.
It's a sing-along. It's a sing-along to drops and quotes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did we do well in the playoffs? No, we haven't won any playoff games.
That's not well then.
I'm going to ask the scary question for last night too.
Okay.
I don't think they win that game if Carl Anthony Towns doesn't foul out.
No, they don't. They don't. Because he was a monster. And here's the thing too. Like, do you know what he's been through? He's not even in shape. He looks terrible.
Well, he's suffered from long-term COVID, and my heart breaks reading the quotes that he had about who he was before his mother passed and now. And it really is upsetting. Like, if you have any empathy whatsoever and you want to understand what people are going through, read what Carl Anthony Towns has had to say.
Didn't he lose more than just his mother? Didn't he lose either like friends or other family members? And then he had it himself, and he's still long hauling his way out of this.
Yeah, it's not cool. Like, it's just not. The fact that he's playing basketball through this is
he's lost
crazy.
Seven family members.
Seven.
That's not even real. That's how awful that sounds.
Seven.
But let's just all pretend like it's okay.
That everything's fine. Yeah.
It's not fine.
It's very, very much not fine. Well, on that note, I can tell you that Cody Westerlund he had some interesting exchanges last night. It was Cody and Kobe that were talking to each other in the post game, and he covered the basketball game. We'll talk to him about it and about these Bulls. Are they right now in the sixth spot in the East?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they went up the standings last night. First, it was the Knicks at 7 and the Bulls at 8 yesterday at this time of the show. They're at number 6 now.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
And that too.
I still like the idea of putting random rhetorical questions into the Ted Phillips thing. Did we get the quarterback exactly right? No. Did we win enough games? No. Is Luke Kornet going to score 16 points in a game this season? No. And just keep adding them into this laundry list of self-answered questions to the negative. We'll talk Bulls with Cody Westerlund next on Bernstein Rahimi on The Score.
Did we do well in the playoffs? No, we haven't won any playoff games.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.